Shabbat This may be a strange question, but how many Whovians do we have out here? We've got a few. Sorry to disappoint you. We're not going to be looking at the face of Bo this morning. If you were a Whovian, you'd get it. Anyway, Parashah Bo, enter. And the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. For I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miracles, signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and your grandchildren how I harshly dealt with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord. In this parsha, God brings the final three plagues upon the Egyptians, locusts, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. The Israelites leave Egypt and receive the commandment to observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as well as the commandment to consecrate the firstborn. Consecration of the firstborn, you can even find that in Luke chapter 2. We see Joseph and Mary following this commandment and others at the temple with Yeshua. Why? If you have your Bibles, flip over to Exodus 13. The entire chapter deals with consecration of the firstborn. But here's the explanation beginning in verse 14. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord, the first male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Now, throughout this account, I've noticed here that the Lord says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I've always wondered about this. But if we read through the account of all the plagues, we see from the beginning that Pharaoh hardened his heart. You see that over and over and over. Later in the account, we begin to read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, didn't Pharaoh have a choice? Yes. He did have a choice, and he made that choice. And God here is merely confirming the choice that Pharaoh already made. Why? Why is this? The best, most direct and simple answer to this is this. In order to demonstrate his power, and in order that his name might be proclaimed throughout the earth. The reason that this is the best, most direct and simple answer to this question is because it's God's own answer. We see that in Exodus 9:16, when we read, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And again in Romans, in the New Testament, Romans 19:17 says, for Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God raised up Pharaoh for this very purpose in order to promote his own glory. God did not directly harden Pharaoh's heart, or anybody else's heart for that matter, contrary to their own free choice, but only indirectly through their choice. God, in his omniscience, foreknew exactly how Pharaoh would respond, and he used it to accomplish his purposes. God ordained the means of Pharaoh's free but stubborn action. Now, some would take this to an extreme and say, why bother? If God already knows what I'm going to do, why bother? Or why pray if God already knows what I need? Our prayers are an acknowledgement of our dependence on Him. And that alone is reason enough to pray without ceasing. When we try to understand an infinite God, it becomes even more confusing and frustrating. Does our knowledge that the sun will rise tomorrow cause the sun to rise? No. Neither does God's foreknowledge of what we are going to do causes what we do. We cannot try to understand an infinite God with a finite mind. God resides out of time as we know it. Nothing we do is a surprise to God. He already knows how we will react to situations, and He already knows our deeds, both good and bad. So what can we take away from this morning? What can we take and apply to our own lives? Two things. When we fail, we need to ask for forgiveness and move on. Number two, don't fall into the trap of thinking our failings don't matter because God already knew that we would fail. Shabbat Shalom. Oh, I guess I get to stay up here.